morning, Delaware Valley. Good morning, everyone. This is Gary Moore, and you're just tuned in to Gary Moore Live presents the Voices of Righteousness. So sit back, relax. We have two great speakers today, and I'm telling you, God's going to change your life today according to His Word.
This is WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio. You've been listening to the ever-changing world news. Now listen to the never-changing good news, life-changing good news, with Bishop George E. Gibson II.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning to you. Thank you for following us on Good News with the Bishop, WWDB 860 on the AM dial. We appreciate your presence on this morning and trust that you're having a good kickoff and out the blocks and getting ready to meet God and share with God in virtual spaces or either in a particular church spaces, but wherever. Be careful, be prayerful, and we will continue to lift you up. This morning, I want to talk about representatives of reconciliation. That's who we are. We are representatives of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 19. Allow me to read it for you in the English version and in the Message version. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God has reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. The Message version say, all this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him, and then came and called us to settle our relationship with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. When you want to repair a relationship where there is conflict, you have to focus on reconciliation, not resolution. There's a big difference. Reconciliation means reestablishing the relationship. It doesn't mean you're married or remarried your ex. It doesn't mean you at peace with each other. Resolution means you resolve every disagreement and that just isn't going to happen. Because the truth is, there are some things in our marriages, our friendships, and our work relationships that you're just never going to agree on, because we're all so different. But you can disagree without being disagreeable. That's called maturity. How about that? That's called wisdom. That's called being like Christ. We can have unity without uniformity. There are a lot of people in the same uniform, but are miles apart in harmony and agreement. We can walk hand in hand together without seeing eye to eye. Lady and I have been married now 17 years, and we don't see eye to eye on a lot of things, but we walk hand in hand and support each other. We are at peace. There's a lot of conflict in the world. It's filled with wars and divisions, arguments, prejudices, and racism, terrorism, and partisanism. And as a result, we have broken relationships. We have a broken economy. We have broken government. We have broken marriages. We have broken lives and broken hearts. But when we look at the context of the text in 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 12, Paul says that it is important that we understand he is not crazy for continuing to preach the gospel, even though it leads to so much suffering for him. Christ's love compels Paul to continue to teach all people that they can be reconciled to God through him in Christ, just as he was. In Christ, God is not counting people's sins against them, but instead giving them credit for Christ's righteous life. As Christ's ambassador, Paul begged all the people to be reconciled to God through their faith in Jesus Christ. In verse 18, the context reveals why Paul no longer sees people as he once did. When his understanding of who Christ is changed, his understanding of who everyone else did as well. Once Paul understood that Christ, the Son of God, died to pay for human sin, Paul says that those who are in Christ are entirely new creatures. This happens only when someone comes to Christ through faith and by God's grace. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast." The grace of God is our source of salvation. Faith is the channel, not the cause. God alone saves. Salvation never originates in the efforts of people. It always arises out of the loving kindness of God. Truly, salvation is of the Lord. The past tense of the verb saved in this text indicate that the believer's salvation has already occurred in the past at the cross. The gift of God, we cannot do anything to earn our salvation. Some suggest the gift of God modifies the word faith in verse 9. Thus, Paul is saying that even our belief in God does not originate in ourselves. This, too, is a gift. So no one can take pride in their position as a Christian and as a believer. Everything is received from our merciful and gracious Father. The old sinful life of those people is over, is gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17, hear it anew, hear it afresh. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In fact, a new way in which God will reconcile people to himself has come through faith in Christ, and any person can be reconciled to God. By using the word reconcile, Paul conveys our separation from God caused by sin can be removed once and for all. Forgiven for all their sin, a person can become fully welcome into a relationship with God. Reconcile us to himself, says verse 19. Because of Christ's propitiation, his sanctification, of God's forgiveness and righteous demand, God is now able to turn towards us. God has made us new creatures in Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, a word meaning a change of relation from enmity to peace. We who have been reconciled to God have the privilege of telling others that they can be reconciled to him as well. God could change his relationship towards us because our sins have been imputed. They have been reckoned to Christ instead of it to us. In other words, God placed our sins on Christ, who knew no sin. His death was in our place and for our sins. If we believe in Jesus, God counts Jesus's righteousness as our righteousness. Verse 21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that he might become the righteousness of God in him." The word reconciliation that has been entrusted to us is to tell all people that God wants to restore them to a relationship with himself. Romans 5 and 8, "But God demonstrated his own love towards in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I love you at your darkest, that's what he says. this right here is the good news everyone needs to hear. God's atoning love through Christ is the source of all our spiritual blessing. God's love for us is that it is what motivates him to send Christ into the world to save us. Christ paid for our sins, which had separated us from him. This sacrifice not only brings us peace with God, it also brings us into a personal, loving relationship with him. It is the atoning love. But secondly, it is the calling love. God loves us with calling love. 1 Peter 2:9, God shows his love for us in by calling us out of darkness of sin into the light of fellowship with him. God's calling love is a promise to always be with us. But then thirdly, there is God's redeeming love. Romans 8:3-4, because of our sinful nature, we have no power to fulfill God's law, but God's love is shown through Christ, who redeemed or paid the price we owe our rebellion. God's redeeming love frees us from guilt and fear. Then there's God's justifying love. God's love is shown by justifying us or declaring us innocent by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. It is the threat as if we were the sinner, and the sinner is treated as if he were righteous on God's part now, sees us through Christ's righteousness instead of through our sin. God's justifying love allows us to stand accepted by him. I challenge you today and charge you as a believer to commit to becoming an agent of reconciliation in a world filled with conflict. Because a bridge builder, not a wall builder. Become a bridge builder, hear me now, not a wall builder. Look for ways to bring people together rather than tearing people apart. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a ministry of reconciliation. It is your job to go out in the society and say, God's done everything to put you back in fellowship with him. He's already paid for all your sins. You don't have to be his enemy. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. Be reconciled to God. Be at peace with God. Then spread that peace with everybody you know. Shake a little. Shine a little. Salt of the earth. Light of the world. Peace and blessings to you. We love you. Have a great day. Not out of word. We just out of time.
You've been listening to Bishop George E. Gibson II on Good News with the Bishop. Meet us here every Sunday from 7 to 7:15 in the morning. You can follow the Bishop on Instagram, @official_BishopGeorgeGibson, one word, or on Facebook at Bishop George, one word, Gibson. If you would like to partner with us, use the Cash App using the $ and Bishop GG27. Have a blessed day.
Wow, what a wonderful word. What a wonderful word. We're getting ready to bring on the next speaker, and we're doing that now.
Yeah. Hey, man, let me tell you about this place where I found love, I found peace, I found joy, and I found myself. I was looking for a place where I could learn, grow, and develop. Man, it's crazy. Yeah, listen. I was looking for a place to go and a place to grow, a place yielded to the Holy Ghost where the Spirit flows. PowerPoint game crazy, vibrant visuals, and when healing time comes, signs and wonders really show. Learning principles got me walking in my blessings. Taking notes got me learning spiritual lessons. I felt home where the love was developed. I was looking for a place where I could learn, grow, and develop, and I found that, yeah, at this place called Liberty Temple, Philly West.
Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Early. Listen, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you to our broadcast. We are absolutely excited to be bringing the word of the Lord to you today. The difference between success and failure is truly information. And we are praying that this information is going to help you with mindsets, attitudes, belief systems, and even behaviors that are going to help you on your path of your life assignment and to be successful. If you do what you've always done, you will truly have what you always had. We welcome you to your new day.
Saying all that to say, as we get ready to close, when does prophecy come to pass? Everybody wants to know the answer to this question. So let's go to the Word of God and find out what the Word of God says about this. When does it come to pass? How will I know? How long I gotta wait? All right, watch this. Luke 1, 26 through 27. I shared this with you, but we're gonna look at it from a different vantage point. Gabriel comes to Mary in the sixth month because he was, watch this, sent from God, based on what I just said to you. Do you see it? He was sent from God to a specific area where there was a virgin who was espoused. That virgin espoused means she was engaged, all right? Engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. God knew who the word was for. God knew where the woman was, the young lady was. He knew her address. He knew her phone number. He knew where to get to her when he needed to get to her. So here's my point to you. When it is your time, God knows where you are. This is one of the biggest problems that people have, right? Because we're trying to force the when, as if God is senile and does not know where you live, does not know how late it is, does not know what time it is, when it was time. This didn't have nothing to do with Mary. Are y'all hearing this? Micah prophesied this back in Micah 5 and 2. I showed it to you before. Do you see it? That there would be a baby born in Bethlehem of Judea. Do you see what I'm saying? And at Bethlehem, I'm sorry, Ephrathah is what Micah says. And 700 years later, the angel of the Lord has to go to the woman who is supposed to birth it because she don't even know. She's a part of a when that she never prophesied. She's a part of a when she never prayed for. Somebody else was the catalyst to your when. My God, are you hearing what I'm saying? God had to send a prophet to you to let you know when something was time. Had to send a bona fide fivefold ministry gifting and then get you because he knew where you were. He knew your city. He knew your address. He knew your name. He knew where you were. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? It is the same way that it happened with Mary when we talk about the when, all right? When heaven says that it's time, that's when things take place. Are you seeing it? So there was the time 700 years later, right? Because he's got to meet. God's word cannot return void. Christ has to be born 700 years to the day. So that set Mary's time. Did you see it? When God was going to engage her, that was nine. So that manifestation of Micah 5 and 2 was 9 months away. So he had to get to Mary now. Do you see it? Watch this. Verse 28, and the angel came in unto her, and notice what he does. He greets her the way God saw her, because that's what prophecy does to you. It greets you from the vantage point, from the lens from which God sees you. It's not based on what other people think. It's not based on whether or not you're the most likely to succeed. It's not based on whether other people are ready to see you with it, think you're ready for it, think you should have it, think you're qualified, right? The angel came and greeted her the way that God saw her. Everybody else saw a young virgin. God saw a woman who was highly favored. And this is why I'm saying to you that prophecies have to be received. Prophecies have to be discerned, because you might have a response very much like Mary. Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with you. You didn't even know it, that God was committed to you, but he is. You didn't know that you had favor with a higher court than the ones that we see in the natural realm, but you do. You didn't know that you was already blessed among other women. Other people are anointed. Other people are grace. Other people are creative. But that doesn't take away from your creativity. The existence of their strength doesn't take away from the strength that God put in you. Do you see it? You don't have to dummy down because others have gamed up. What is wrong with us? We got to stop this foolishness. We're bringing worldly toxic concepts to a supernatural environment, and they're not even transferable. Are you seeing it? Blessed art thou. You already blessed, woman. You are. I see you as a woman, not a child. I don't see you as a teenager. I see you as a highly favored woman. And I work with you. I chose you. I'm with you. I'm committed to you. And you didn't even know I was this committed to you. Verse 29. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Notice this. She wasn't troubled at the angel. She wasn't troubled at the supernatural being. She was troubled by what he was saying to her. And this is what people do. And this is the moment in most cases where prophecies are killed in most people's lives, right? Because we don't match the prophecy with our faith. We match it with our doubt. She was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. You shouldn't be talking to me like this because I don't see myself the way that you see me. Are y'all getting this? All right. It's so important that you understand this because you ain't the first one. You're not God's first rodeo. Watch this. Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, because fear was the issue. You're afraid to be who God told you to be. You're afraid because you're too busy thinking about what other people are going to think. You're too busy thinking about what the costs are going to be. You're too busy thinking about what folks, you know, might not like when you start to evolve. What people might have an issue with, see? And so we start going directly to all of the stuff that don't matter, right? Instead of believing the transfer. He said, fear is the issue. You need to understand, young lady, you are favored with God. God has already favored you. The court of heaven has already approved you. There's something about you that heaven likes. My God, verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from his sins. Matthew 1:21 tells us, all right? So Jesus' name meant that he was a savior, save people from their sins. Now watch this. You're going to conceive. I want to prophesy to some people today and say to you that there's some things that you're going to begin to conceive in this season in your womb. In the womb of your life, you're getting ready to conceive some things that you did not think could come out of you. I'm talking to you. There's some things that you did not think that were going to come out of you that God says are coming out of you. It's time for you to abandon the way that you saw yourself. You need to get a new prescription in terms of what you are looking, in terms of your eyes and your vision, because God says your vision needs to be upgraded. There are timelines connected to you being in the earth realm, and there are things that I want to do through you, and I can't do those things through you until you embrace that you can conceive. You're not hearing me. You got to embrace the idea of conception. You've got to agree with the vision of freedom in order to experience it. So he's saying there's some things in your life, in the womb of your life, I'm prophesying to you, that you are going to begin to conceive. There's some things that are getting ready to come out of you that you didn't even think were qualified to come out of your womb. You didn't think that your womb could produce this. You didn't think that your womb could do this. But what you're getting ready to see is going to be unprecedented. What you're getting ready to see is going to be uncommon. The things that are going to be conceived out of your womb can only come from somebody that's favored. And God says that you are about to learn a different lens about yourself because you are getting ready to see that this was in your womb all along. This was capable of coming out of your womb all along. But the problem was the fear of what you did not see. For some, fear of success. For some, fear of failure. For everybody's fear may be typecasted differently. But it's still fear. And the issue is you don't believe that you have favor with God. But God says as these things begin to come out and conceive out of your womb, it's about to change your vantage point in terms of how you see yourself. And you're going to now ask people to agree with you instead of trying to get people to pray for you like you don't have the confidence that God will hear your prayer versus somebody else that you know who God does hear. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All right. We're always talking about the wind here. We're just talking about the wind. Verse 34, then said Mary, Mary unto the angel. Because this is what we do. How's this going to happen? You know I'm a virgin. I don't know a man. The word of the Lord to you today, whether you're watching me live or in replay, the Lord told me to tell you last night, you don't need a man to do what you're about to do. Now hear me prophetically. You do not need the help that you think you need. You do not need the affirmation that you think you need. The things that come from man-made resources, he said, you're not going to need them in this season. You're not even hearing me. Boy, somebody needs to say he's talking to me right now. Watch this. He says, you will not need a man. You are going to need the Holy Ghost to conceive what this fresh new thing that's going to begin to come out of the womb of your business, the womb of your life, the womb of your assignment, the womb of your family, the womb of your ministry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is going to be conceived by the Holy Ghost. This is what he's saying. Now, notice what he's talking about here, global positioning, all right? Because we're talking about when. See, because the when is affected when you're not in the right position. We see through Mary, first, there needed to be a mindset shift. Do you see it? So part of your win is when your mind changes, when your vantage point changes. Are you seeing it? My God, see what happened when the Holy Ghost opened it up to you? So you got to get your head straight. You got to decide, are you going to choose life or death? Which side are you going to be on? You going to be on the side of belief or unbelief? Which one are you going to do? Because God says you can't vacillate back and forth. The era of your life is over. Once you get on the belief side, you can't go back to doubt. Do you see that? There is no go back once you get on the belief side. Do you see it? Okay, watch what he says. He says, so first, the mindset, her mindset had to shift. Secondly, her sourcing had to shift. Do you see it? Because her understanding previously to this moment was that it only comes from a man and woman interacting in the case of her story. But in our case, well, it only happens if you know these type of people, if you're in this type of community, if you have these type of connections. Am I talking right? But he's saying that in this season of your life, those are not the connections that you're going to need. The connection you're going to need is with the Holy Ghost. Okay. Are y'all seeing this? So verse 35 says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And the conjunction, the power of the highest will overshadow you. So there are two things you need here. Number one, you're going to have the Holy Ghost on you to conceive in your womb the unprecedented things that you're getting ready to see come out of your life. All right. Number two, you must have the power of the Holy Ghost, which means that God is going to have to train you on principle-centered living. Principle-centered living that unleashes the power, the supernatural power.
Well, there you have it. That's been the word for today. Govern yourselves accordingly. Everything that you've heard in your hearing has been just for you. Thank you for tuning in. Tune in next week at the same time, same station. God bless you.